That's what they call the tag team, okay? Just a few brief thoughts about our reading from St. Paul's letter to Timothy. Here he is, he says, "The time of my departure is at hand." It's at the very end of his life. So at the end of your life, when you're looking back, what will you think? How will you judge who you chose to emulate? How you chose to spend your time? Where you invested your resources? St. Paul looks back at the end of his life and he says what to us might seem audacious or even prideful. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. And now the crown of righteousness awaits me." Well, what possible criteria could he have to make that judgment upon himself? Well, it seems that he shows us two criteria. He says, first of all, "I am already being poured out like a libation." Okay, what does this image mean? Well, a libation is a drink offering. So imagine wine. You know, it went through this long process of the planting of the vines, the cultivating, the, you know, harvesting the grapes, crushing them, the whole process of fermentation to become this delicious drink that brings joy to men's hearts. And then it's taken into the temple and poured out, wasted. That's what the libation is. It's a drink offering. It's a way of giving to the Lord something that we cherish, something that we see of great value. And St. Paul likens his life to this drink offering. "I'm being poured out like a libation." He has lived his life in service of the gospel, not following what he desired, but pouring himself out to do what God asked of him, proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and enduring many trials, being crushed in so many different ways in order to fulfill that mission. And now he says he sees that his time is at hand to make the ultimate sacrifice. His martyrdom is impending. So he's been poured out like a libation. Secondly, St. Paul says that he has longed for the appearance of the Lord. He's longed for the coming of Christ. He has longed not for the worldly pleasures and comforts, but for Christ. He has set his eyes not on the things of this world, but on what is above. So St. Paul reflects on his life at the end, and with great confidence, seeing that he has poured out his life and that he has longed for nothing other than Christ, he sees, he has great confidence that the crown of righteousness awaits him. It's good for us from time to time to stop and reflect on our lives in such a way. If my life were to draw to an end today, would I have that same confidence? Would I feel that I have poured out my life for what God wanted? Have I set my eyes on the things that are above and not the things of earth? Today, our parish is going through the pledge process for our offertory commitment. This is just one aspect of our lives that we're asked to assess. How is it that we are prioritizing our finances and so on? Are we longing for the coming of Christ? Are we pouring out our resources into what serves God's glory? So many of you have heard this speech before. So I'll try to summarize very briefly what this process is and why we do it before I touch on the finances of the parish. So this is an annual process. We ask you to renew a commitment every year, and each family in the parish is asked to make a pledge, to make a pledged commitment of what they believe is the appropriate amount for them to give to the parish in the upcoming year. Right, we know that there's many areas of charity in your life, and we hope that you see the parish as essential to the support of your spiritual life and your spiritual growth, and that you will consider supporting Sacred Heart in your charitable giving. We believe that doing this process and making that commitment is helpful for families to be able to prayerfully set their financial priorities. It's also very helpful for Sacred Heart Parish as we plan for the upcoming year and programs that we will be able to offer and so on. Recently, most of you should have received a mailing from the parish, which included a financial report, some information about planned giving, especially about contributions from your IRA, especially if you're over 70 and a half and are required to make your minimum distribution every year. There's a way that you can make that benefit both you and the parish. So there's information about those things in there. If you did not receive the mailing for some reason, or if you're not registered at the parish, you wouldn't have received it. We have extra copies available on the table on your way out today. Feel free to take one home with you to review. And I want to spend some time on the financial report. Okay, many of you, most of us, when we get a financial report, we look at the bottom line and that's it. This year, the bottom line looked very favorable. And you might have thought, well, Sacred Heart doesn't need my money, okay? But I want to talk through why it looks like it does and what the reality actually is, okay? It looks very favorable for three reasons. One, we're following the diocesan way of reporting for our financial report. So all of our investment income is included as income, right? So we had a very good year in our investments for the parish, which includes our endowments and things that are set aside for special purposes. So that's not cash that's available for us. It's there in our investments. So that's reported as income. That skews the bottom line. Secondly, last year we received a few very large bequests, which we can never plan for. Those bequests also are accompanied with large expenses that didn't happen to fall in last year's fiscal year. They'll fall in this one, okay? So that was another thing that skewed the numbers slightly. And also, as you recall, we had this large project of replacing our air handlers and air conditioner so that we could have air conditioning in the summer. And this, you know, well-dispersed heat during the winter. Winter shouldn't have arrived yet, but anyway. So you'll see that the money that we took from the capital maintenance fund to pay for that project is also reported as income. Now, if you think about your family's finances, you know, you might save some things for major projects like putting a new roof on your house, right? That might have not have been part of your budget, but you take it out of the savings. You don't count that as income, right? But in our report, that's the way it shows up, and that's why it looks so favorable. The reality is we had a good year financially. We had a balanced budget and broke even. But we also spent a lot from our capital maintenance fund. That's what it's there for, to help us with needs like that. And so it was the first time in the last 5 years that our net assets actually decreased slightly. Okay, so that gives you a better sense, a better picture of what the last year was like for our parish. Basically, we broke even. Our net assets were slightly decreased due to the major expense of our air conditioner. And I anticipate that this fiscal year we'll see the same thing, a balanced budget, but a decrease in our net assets. Now, as we look forward to the fiscal year that we have, we're in, our budget was also presented there with an increase in expenses of $30,000. That comes with increased opportunities, right? First of all, we have Father Peter, another priest here to serve at the parish. The school children now remember what a priest looks like. So it's wonderful that he's able to be in the school every day, which I would love to do, but haven't been able to recently. So Father Peter brings joy, enthusiasm, and is able to help in many ways. We also hired Paul Jensen to be a director of operations for our parish. He's helping us with efficiencies and especially with long-term planning. As you know, our school is over 60 years old. The church just celebrated its 50th anniversary of its dedication yesterday. So with aging buildings comes a lot of more need for planning for the future. Anyway, we've also increased our programming. You probably heard before Mass that confirmation is this afternoon. We have 33 of our young people receiving that sacrament, right? That's a larger group than St. Cecilia's. It's a larger group even than St. Joe's and Baraboo. So we're doing something right to keep our children engaged in the faith. Recently, we had almost 30 high schoolers come on a Wednesday night to a voluntary youth group event. Okay, not obligatory, but voluntary. They came because they want to grow in their faith. They want to come to know the Lord. So there's a lot of wonderful things happening at the parish. Our Hispanic ministry continues to grow. In 2018, one-third of our baptisms were from Spanish-speaking families. And we recently started, for the first time, a Spanish language First Communion class to better serve families in our community. As always, and I've mentioned this before, Sacred Heart would love to reward our dedicated employees better for their service, their tireless efforts, and the service of our parish. But we can't do that without your support. So the needs are still great. The opportunities are even greater. So we're just asking you to partner with us in making an investment in the parish, an investment in the church, an investment in the good that our faith can do in the lives of individuals and our community. So we're going to go through the pledge process at this time. So I'd ask the ushers to please come forward and hand to each family an envelope, which includes this green pledge card and a pen or a pencil. So if every family could please take one, regardless of what amount you're going to pledge or if you're going to make a pledge. These cards look very familiar. We've made a few slight changes that I want to make you aware of. In the past, we've asked everyone to calculate out what the weekly amount would be for their gift. We just realized we're going to meet you halfway because many people give monthly, that you're just going to select whether your pledge is for weekly, monthly, or quarterly. Okay? But if you don't check one of those boxes, this won't mean anything to us. So please make sure that you select what the frequency of your pledge is. The second thing is, of course, we're encouraging our families to give electronically through EFT. This is an automatic withdrawal from your bank account so that you don't have to write checks. You don't have to remember to bring your envelopes. It's very convenient for you and for us. If you're new to the parish and would like to register or would like more information about registering, please check the box in the lower right-hand corner. So I'll just give you a few minutes of silence. You can pull out your hymnal if you'd like for something to write on. And please indicate the frequency, weekly, monthly, or quarterly, the appropriate amount that you would like to pledge to the parish. And there's a line on the right-hand side if those amounts that are listed are not the appropriate one. And please legibly write your contact information. That just helps us keep our records up to date. We'll give you plenty of time here, but when you are done, there's no need to seal the envelope. And just place the card back in with the pen or the pencil. This time I'd invite the ushers to come forward, beginning from the front, to collect your envelopes and your pens. So on behalf of the staff at Sacred Heart, we're continually striving to be better and better stewards of the financial goods that you entrust to us so that we can better dispose of the spiritual goods that are entrusted to the church by Jesus Christ. So thank you for your generosity. Thank you for partnering with us and continue to pray for God's grace to be manifest in our community through our parish.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten